Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, folks. We are broadcasting live from 4454 Transcontinental, one of the locations provided by Metropolitan Health Group, and we've partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank, and we've got a lot of folks that have come by and dropped some groceries by here, so come on by. They've got champagne. They've got cheese tray, fruit trays. They've got sandwiches. Come on by, say hello, and spend a little time with us. And I know that Representative Troy Carter, who joins us now, would love to come by, but where are you now, Troy?
I am stuck. Newell, how are you today? I am stuck in Washington, D.C., trying to pass a budget.
A continuing resolution that has some important money for North Carolina. You know, we know and how they feel there in the aftermath of a destructive storm, right?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, and I think you and I share this position. Having these continuing resolutions is not the best way to govern. You can't govern month by month, and this continuing kicking down the road is just not the most responsive or best way to govern. And we find ourselves tied once again on these 5 and 6 month extensions on a budget. Which, again, is unfair to the American people. It's unfair to our senior citizens who are waiting for their Social Security checks. It's unfair to our military personnel who are serving at home and abroad. It's unfair to all of our federal employees who are dedicated employees wondering if they're going to be furloughed. Some things, by its very nature, will be political and will be partisan. Our budget should not be. And certainly as it relates to disaster recovery funds, the people in North Carolina and throughout our country are desperately waiting on resources to be able to rebuild their businesses, rebuild their homes. And yet we have completely depleted our DRF. And as we talked about on the last time I was with you, we should have a never-ending, always self-replenishing disaster recovery fund so we never find ourselves in this position again.
Troy, when was the last federal budget passed?
Oh, gosh. You know, we've been doing these continuing resolutions for a minute now. So, unfortunately, the last one has been a few years ago. Because each time, we keep doing the 3 and 4 and 5 months. We have not had a permanent budget since our Speaker Mike Johnson has been in place, nor have we had one when the previous Speaker. So I would say the last time was when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, obviously, what happens with the new administration coming in. But we really wanted to talk to you today about a bipartisan piece of legislation that you and Congressman Mike Ezell introduced called the Capacity Building for Business Districts Pilot Program Act. That's a mouthful.
These names are pretty long, man. the names for our acts are so long and sometimes misleading. But this one is not misleading. It's long, but it does speak to our ability to demonstrate our sincerity about supporting small businesses. We often hear people say small businesses are the background, the backbone of our community, yet there are still lots of things that we can do to demonstrate that we really feel that way. So my dear friend, Mike Ezell, who is from our neighboring state, Mississippi, and I came together to sponsor this bill, which will create tailored programming and assistance and grant dollars to assist Main Street programs, economic development organizations that are community-based, to really highlight the value of what we have in New Orleans. Look at the Old Algiers Main Street program that has been incredibly successful. Look at Old Gretna when we look at the mix of homes and beautiful cafes and shops. This is demonstrating the importance of protecting that whole mom-pop small business atmosphere that is so unique and important to our culture, particularly in Louisiana. This bill provides additional resources to aid those Main Street programs, to provide grants, not only for people to start new businesses, but in this environment, to be able to maintain their businesses. So I'm very proud of this bill. Mike Ezell, the dear friend, very proud that this is being done in a bipartisan way, in a time when bipartisanship has not been as heralded as I hope it will be as we go forward, to continue to fight to demonstrate that regardless of our parties, we can still work together for the betterment of our people.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned a couple of projects, both Algiers and Gretna. And the interesting thing about both of those, it's almost like they had to create the destination, right? I mean, there was some historic significance there, obviously. But because of the growth patterns of our community, it kind of moved around them, right?
That's exactly right. And that's the value of the Main Street programs. Main Street programs are very deliberate. They go into areas that, but for their presence and resources like this bill, they might be forgotten. There may not be opportunities for an organization to benefit these small businesses. So they end up being Jack or Lantern, one here, one there, with no real resources to assist them in marketing, advertising. We know that Eldridge Point is wonderful with its historic homes and its character. We know that Old Gretna is wonderful with its historic homes and its character. But oftentimes when we look at the grand scape of advertising for our economic development, our tourist dollars, you don't always get them. We talk about the big cities. We talk about the Garden District. We talk about places that are heavily populated. And we oftentimes, but for Main Street programs and bills such as this, we would miss an opportunity to highlight significant small businesses and neighborhoods and communities that are a real treat for people to see. And we should not allow them to die on the vine, hence the significance of this bill.
Absolutely. So, Troy, when are you guys getting out of there?
Not soon
enough.
Your crystal ball is probably better than mine, sir. looks like we are. So we just had our votes pushed up from 4 o'clock to 1:30. We know that the CR was released late last night. It's a 1,500-page document, so we're all feverishly pouring through it to make sure those things that are important to us are there. Unless Speaker Johnson waives the 72-hour rule, we're going to be stuck here until Friday. But the good part about it is we have $100 billion in the CR for disaster recovery. We have another $10 billion in it as well. So this gives us at least the comfort of knowing that we've stopped kicking this can for the moment, and at least we can deal with people who are still suffering from the last two hurricanes that have devastated our communities. But we also, because of our ever-changing climate, we know that storms come in places we never expected them before. It's not just the very predictable timing of the year when hurricane season begins. We know that wildfires and mudslides and flooding and hurricanes in places that have never had them before and natural disasters all over the country are happening. And now our brothers and sisters in other states who have not had to endure this as frequently as we have now understand, listen, we have to keep this pot flowing and we have to be ever ready. We don't need to recreate the wheel when storms come, when natural disasters come. But we also, but we have to make sure that we have funds that are available and ready to be dispatched and dispersed to these communities that need it most. Listen, this is not rocket science. You know, there's a lot of things that that we can get and redo in Congress, and we certainly need to revisit the Stafford Act, as I've been working on, to end some of the antiquated practices, to expedite getting resources to people who need them. If we're serious about protecting our communities and supporting our small businesses, you know, let's look at making sure that SBA always has the resources it needs. Let's make sure that FEMA always has the resources that it needs, because we know Katrina and many other storms have taught us this. When those waters rise, they don't care about your party. They don't care about your race. They don't care about how much money you have in your bank account. And we should treat it that way as well.
And this is not a criticism of FEMA, but is there a thought process going on in D.C. at all about, you know, one of the downsides of FEMA, it's really a part-time organization, right? It's not a full-fledged. It kind of ramps itself up in the immediate advance of a storm and immediately afterwards. And because of that, there's all kinds of challenges. I mean, in North Carolina right now, they're having trouble again with trailers. I mean, you remember the issues that we had. It would seem to me by now we would have figured the trailer thing out, right?
You would think. And that's a part of what I keep saying about this is not rocket science. We should learn from the mistakes of the past. We saw that road home, something that was intended to be really good, didn't work out as well as it should. So we've learned from that. We've learned that that these trailers that should have in theory worked out weren't the most efficient. But, you know, some of these things we still try to pull from a 1990s playbook, or early 2000 playbook, and we should be creating new and more efficient ways of doing it. So FEMA should be ever ready, self-standing, and it should not be treated as something that is an adjunct to something else. Many of us have been fighting for that as a part of the discussions that we have with rewriting the Stafford Act, which determines how these funds flow. You know, this is, again, and I'm proud to say that I've been working with a bipartisan group of members of Congress to come up with ideas on how we can be more efficient and use best practices to make sure that FEMA is functioning properly, most efficiently, and most importantly, in 2025, we shouldn't be doing things that we did in 2000.
No, absolutely not. Well, good luck getting out of there on Friday, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. I hope you have a great holiday season, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Always. Thank you so much, Newell. Have a fantastic holiday yourself, my friend. Hopefully I'll see you somewhere about during the Christmas cheer. If not, give my very best to your family and keep doing great work. Bless you.
Thank you, sir. U.S. Representative Troy Carter from District 2. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are broadcasting live from the Metropolitan Health Group offices at 4454 Transcontinental. They have been great corporate partners. They partnered up with Second Harvest Food Bank. We have been collecting groceries here all morning, and you can continue to bring them by all day today and through the end of the week if you desire, and we'll get it on over to Second Harvest. And if you want to make a donation, you can call Second Harvest Food Bank at 504-355-0025. We'll be right back.